Hi, this is Nathan W. Bingham, host of Renewing Your Mind, and I want to invite you to join us in Orlando for our Ligonier National Conference. Beginning May 23rd, Christians from around the world will gather to hear biblical teaching and enjoy fellowship together. This year's theme is The Way, the Truth, and the Life. Over 3 days, we'll focus on the person and work of Jesus Christ. To learn more and register, visit ligonier.org/2024.
Welcome back to another episode of 5 Minutes in Church History. On this episode, we are talking about monothelitism. What is monothelitism? Why, of course, this is the view of the monothelites. I know that might not help you much, so let's get into this. Monothelitism was a heresy in the early church that was dealt with at the 6th Ecumenical Council. Now, just to refresh our memory, let's walk through these 7 ecumenical councils together. All of these occurred, of course, before that split, that great split between the Church of the West and the Roman Catholic Communion and the Church of the East, the Orthodox Church. The first council was at Nicaea in 325. The second ecumenical council was the First Council of Constantinople in 381. The third council was the Council of Ephesus. It met in 431, followed by the fourth ecumenical council, the Council of Chalcedon, in 451. The fifth was the Second Council of Constantinople, meeting in 553. And the sixth council is the one we'll be mentioning, the Third Council of Constantinople, in 681. And then the seventh ecumenical council, well, this went back to the city where it all began, the Second Council of Nicaea, and that was in 787. Many of these church councils dealt with the issue of the identity of Jesus Christ and who Jesus Christ is. And through these councils and the creeds, especially the Nicene Creed and the Chalcedonian Creed, we have this established Orthodox position based on the biblical teaching and a summary of the biblical teaching of the person of Christ, that Jesus is truly human and truly divine. Now, the word truly or true there is important. Sometimes we'll say that Jesus is 100% human and 100% divine, or we'll say he's fully human and fully divine. But the language of these councils and creeds is not quantitative, like 100% or fully. The language is actually truly. So the Nicene Creed tells us that Jesus is Deum Verum De Deo Vero, true God from true God. And when we go to the Chalcedonian Creed, we read here that Jesus is Deum Verum et Hominum Verum, true deity and true humanity. Of course, in these early centuries, even in the pages of the New Testament, that true deity of Jesus, that view was challenged. And the view that Jesus was truly human, well, that too was challenged. And so these councils came along, these creeds came along to respond to those challenges. And further complications came in when theologians began to express how these two natures came together. If we go back to Chalcedon, we're told that these two natures are not inconfusedly, unchangeably, indivisibly, or inseparable. But many theologians tried to confuse, change, divide, and separate these two natures. And so it is with this controversy turned heresy of monothelitism. Now, the word thelos means will. So a monothelite is one who believed that Jesus had one will. The counterview is diothelite, and the diothelites believed that Jesus had two wills. Now, think with me through this. If Jesus is truly human and truly divine, how many wills does Jesus have? That's right. He has two. He has a truly human will, and he has a truly divine will. They're not confused, they're not divided, they're not changed, and they're not separated. And monothelitism was a challenge to the true humanity of Jesus because his human will was totally swallowed up and did not exist because of the divine will. And that's not who Jesus is. So that's monothelitism, and I'm Steve Nichols, and thanks for listening to 5 Minutes in church history. As we have a few extra moments here at the end of our time, let's go back to John Calvin and hear what he has to say to us. He writes, "What help is it, in short, to know a God with whom we have nothing to do? Rather, our knowledge should teach us fear and reverence, and with it as our guide and teacher, we should learn to seek every good from Him."